Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning. We just want to tell the devil that he's a liar. Fear has gripped many people, and church buildings have closed. But we are the church, and the message of Christ keeps reaching his children. I was very much encouraged on the 1st of April when we had our first prayer meeting on video conference. More people tuned in than the numbers that usually attend physically. Isn't God wonderful? He still draws his children close to himself. I am Isaac Mensah, just like you, somebody who wants to explore the love of God. I am excited that we have been brought together to listen to the Father's message for his children, as outlined in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 15. Before we take a look at the text, I want to emphasize the importance of a father's instructions and his involvement in the development of his children. There is a song by Harry Chaplin, written in 1974, called Cats in the Cradle, the gist of which goes like this. Because I don't know how to sing it, I'm not going to try to sing it, but I know the words and the gist of the song. It goes like this. A busy man is always obsessed with the financial stability and welfare of his family. He is never at home, but always out working. His child, when he was born, he wasn't even around. He didn't see his child take his first steps, but he is always providing for the family. When the child was 10, he bought him a football. The child looked at him and smiled and said, "Dad, teach me to play." But his father said he was busy and away he went. The boy smiled and said, "When I grow up, I'm going to be like Daddy." So it goes on. The boy goes to college. He graduates. But his dad is never involved in all that he's doing. The boy gets a work. He moves out, gets married, and starts his own family. Now, his father is old and frail. And one day thought, "Oh no, let me ask my son to pay me a visit." So he picked up the phone and called. "Sonny, can you come over?" The boy said, "Dad, there are so many things for me to do. I am busy. I'll come next time." There is a saying that like father, like son. And indeed, the boy has grown up to be like his father, always busy, something else to be done. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, that train a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Proverbs mainly teaches us about the wise ways of life with money, work, relationships, and the pitfalls and dangers of life, and so on. Our text today focuses on making the right choices from the wisdom that is imparted from a father to his son. It settles on one aspect of fatherhood, which is the role of a father as a teacher. Fathers are teachers, whether they know it or not. The lessons our fathers teach us today stays with us for the whole, our whole lives. We are what we are today because of what we learned as children. King Solomon knows this, and in Proverbs chapter 4, passes on some valuable lessons to his child. I need, however, to draw your attention to the fact that these instructions come from a heavenly father to Solomon, an earthly father, who is also passing it on to his earthly children. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 11 to 12 says, "So God asked him, 'Since you have asked for this, and not for long life, or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be.'" We know that wisdom comes from God. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 tells us, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes understanding and knowledge." Also in James chapter 1, verse 5, we are encouraged to ask for wisdom. "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. And with all your getting, get understanding. This introduces us to two concepts which cannot be easily separated: wisdom and understanding. Understanding is the ability to perceive and discern a situation in order to apply wisdom, which is knowledge, which is true and moral. For example, I have to perceive that flattery and smooth talk will lead me to sin. And so using understanding, I therefore apply it to stay away from flattery so that I would not sin. A person can have wisdom but have no understanding. Naturally, however, if you have wisdom, you should be applying it. But if you don't have understanding of your situations and your surroundings, how can you apply it? Today's text leans to the fact that wisdom and understanding go hand in hand. It also makes wisdom incomplete without it. So I would say wisdom without understanding is only half wisdom. In verses 1 to 4, Solomon says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instructions. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning. So do not forsake my teaching, for I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, 'Take hold of my words with all your heart.'" First, pay attention. Second, gain understanding. Third, what I'm about to say is sound learning. Fourth, lay hold of what I am about to tell you and keep the lessons in your heart. Solomon knows the importance of what he's about to tell his children, so he wants to have his undivided attention. Having got his attention, he tells him in verse 5 to get wisdom and understanding. a thing of surpassing intrinsic excellency, a thing to be pursued in preference to other fascinations, a thing to be cherished and held to the heart, a thing to be highly honored before men, a thing to be retained at all costs. If you value wisdom and hold tightly to her, great honors will be yours. It will keep you and watch over you. It will be like wearing a glorious crown of beautiful flowers. My child, if you listen and obey my teachings, you will live a long life. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. Your road won't be blocked, and you won't stumble when you fall. Get wisdom, get understanding, for it is more valuable than rubies. One of the first lessons Solomon imparts to his son, after outlining the importance of wisdom, after letting him know that he has to apply wisdom in his life, is found in chapter 4, verse 14. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked, or walk in the ways of evil men. The Message version of the Bible puts it like this: don't take wicked bypaths. Don't so much as set foot on that road. Stay clear of it. Give it a wide berth. Make a detour and go on your way. In other words, we are saying, use your wisdom to stay clear of the wicked and their ways. Be wise and avoid them. Job chapter 24, 13 says, there are those who rebel against the light, who do not know its ways or stay in its path. Psalm 119, 104, that is verses 104 and 105 says, I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Again, Psalm 119, verses 127 and 128 says, because I love your command more than gold, more than pure gold, and because I consider all your precepts right, I hate every wrong. These are verses that remind us of what our Lord Jesus Christ was saying in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few people find it. These verses tell us that there are two paths. The first is the righteous and good path, which is lined with the precepts of morality of God. And the second is the unrighteous and evil path, which is lined with the precepts and immorality of this world. Throughout his ministry, Jesus was tempted by the devil, but he always chose the right path laid out for him by his Father. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Right after his baptism, when he was full of the Holy Spirit, he was taken into the desert where he was tempted by the devil. He was tempted about his identity. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. For the devil knew he was hungry, for he had fasted for 40 days. He had the power to turn bread, to turn stones into bread, to meet his own physical needs, but to use miraculous means to prove his identity was wrong. Jesus resisted this temptation. It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. He doesn't need to prove who he is by miracle working. That is the wrong way to establish his identity. In the second temptation, Satan offers Jesus a shortcut that he can obtain the kingdoms of the world if he worshipped him. He took him to the highest mountain and showed him all the splendor of the world. And he said, all this will be yours if you would worship me. He was testing his authority. He was testing whether if he could withstand and go through what God has meant for him. No, Jesus said, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I came to establish my Father's kingdom. I'm here to walk in the path assigned to me by my Father and to do his will. Thirdly, Satan took him to the highest point of the temple in Jerusalem and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, because it is written that the angels will take care of you and your feet will not stumble. Again, Jesus resisted him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. It is written that worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Matthew chapter 16 verse 23 tells us, when Peter suggested that he should not take to the cross, he said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. On the cross again, Jesus is challenged by the bystanders with the same temptation. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Throughout his ministry, Jesus faced temptations to take it the easy way, the shortcut, to doubt who he is and to use his power and his identity to prove his identity. Satan was tempting him from taking the way to the cross, from taking him away from the way to the cross. He was tempting him to abandon his true ministry and mission, but Jesus resisted. There are no shortcuts to salvation. He will be challenged time and again, particularly by the Pharisees, about his identity, his teaching, his authority, his use of power. There are 7 days in a week. Do you have to heal on the Sabbath day? Who asked you to carry your mat? Jesus was challenged all the time. He was being tempted to do it the easy way. He faced a cross, and it will require that he overcame all these temptations before the ultimate test of all. He will have to trust that he is doing his Father's will, even when he no longer feels his presence. "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" he cries out on the cross before commending his spirit to his Father in trust at the last breath. If Jesus had not overcome temptation, he would not have gone on to die on the cross for you and for me. There would have been no Easter, which we celebrated last week, and our sins would have still been on our heads. He was tempted, but he never gave in. He never sinned. He proved his faithfulness and worthy to win our salvation for us. We are eternally grateful he did it God's way, not the way Satan was tempting him to go. We are invited with him. We are invited to walk with him. As disciples, we too are called to the way of the cross. There is no shortcut for us. No easy life just because we are Christians. We are loved. We are children of God. But our trust in God, our trust is in God, who he is, and who we are in him will be tested all the time. In difficult times, we may be tempted to do things our own way, to doubt our identity as children of God, to put God to the test, to find another God to worship him who doesn't make any demands on us. It will also be an opportunity to choose the right path, to trust our Heavenly Father. There are no shortcuts to the victory and glory of Easter without passing through its pain and sorrow. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Amen.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.